Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. We're just kind of having some fun because, like, people want me to talk when I'm on Facebook Live at the beginning, but then I got my show starting here, so you don't want to have people hearing the intro and me at the same time. So that's one of those things. But I want to thank you all so much for tuning into this conversation. Oh, wow. Hard to believe. What is it? The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously declines to hear a case whether churches or other religious organizations in New Jersey are entitled to public funds for historic preservation purposes. But three of the judges said the issue should be addressed soon. As many of you know, over the last couple days, we lost WWE legend King Kong Bundy, and we have lost Luke Perry, Dylan McKay from 90210, and I want to get into that. I also want to get into a firefighter, Corey Mooney, who basically, he had a brain tumor, lost a massive life, and they did a hall of honor as he was rolled down the hall with everyone saluting him as he was donating his organs. He may not live on, but so many people will be able to live because of his donating organs. If any of you ever get a chance, teenagers, high schoolers, anyone out there, y'all have to. It's an EWTN program that it's Unmasking Saul Alinsky, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. It's a documentary about Saul Alinsky, who is a community organizer. It'll change your... because you'll see what he's talking about in the four. I'll get into it as we go on. Wow. Also, are many states starting to realize that look at Washington State, look at Colorado, look at all the positives with cannabis. Is it starting to go forward with that? And also, I want to get into some previews of the PSG match with Manchester United, who are down in a 2-goal deficit in the Champions League. So I'm going to get into that and so much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And I hope you do, folks. And where is it? Your verse of the day is Psalms 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is someone who takes refuge in him. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And welcome to the conversation I hope you feel a part of. And to all those listening around the world and all over, thank you so much for tuning in. I want to get into this Supreme Court. This is a huge, huge debate and a huge topic. And I want to get into that because the Supreme Court has unanimously decided to not hear a case about whether or not churches or other religious organizations can get public funds for historic preservation purposes. Now, because of the separation of church and state, and there are three of the judges that say this is something that should be heard and we should, and it's a huge hot button issue because, I mean, I can see if it was a church and hey, George Washington could have went to church here. He could have sat on this actual pew. It still exists, and we want to preserve it. Should we be able to get public funds for that? I can see that. I can see that being an issue to where you should be able to get public funds. I can also see, you know, if it's just, you know, if it's something very historic, you know, like an old church bell that would have been, you know, around in 1776 that would have been rang on Independence Day back then when we defeated the British. I can see that happening. I could see that. You know, if it's that significant. But, you know, if it's just, you know, this is from like 1960, we, you know, something like that, that's not really like historically relevant to our church, you know, like our country as a whole. Sorry, you know, but hey, it's one of those things that when you have this, it's a big, I mean, like, because I can see both ways with it. I can see how, as you go forward in this debate, I can see where you can sit there and say, well, you know, if it's very historic to the United States and our history, and it is a church thing, then I could see where, yeah, we should step in. But if it's just a simple, you know, the first church in Alabama, and it was started like in 1940 or something, you know, I don't know about that, you know. Not that I really think the community would come together and say, hey, we need to preserve this. But, you know, in this day and age, I live in a town where we had a house that was up and built during the Civil War time. And, oh, got to build a dealership. And they just, oh, we're working with historians to move the dealership. And it went from that to zip. Nope. Nothing, Nathan, nada. So it's one of those things that, wait a minute here. Okay, here. Yeah, it's a huge, huge debate because, well, it's an old building. You can't move it. It's like, I wanna show people that I'm trying to move this. I'm trying to get this to be moved. No, you're not trying to get this historical farmhouse that was around from the Civil War to be moved. It can't be moved. But you got to put up a, you had to shut dealerships down because, you know, like when they had the auto industry issue and, you know, say you close some of your dealerships, now you're going to open up a new one. It's crazy when you go to Italy and you go to France and you go in really, 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 really old buildings that Jesus could have sat and had dinner in or lunch. There's no sense of history. And I don't think per se that should government funds be used to for church institutions or other things? No. But at the same time, if it's a really historic thing like George Washington sat on this bench in this church, you know, and it's, you know, I could see, or this was a church bell that was rung by, you know, Thomas Jefferson or something massively historic that has actual not only church history but also our United States history, then I think, yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should have some funds go to that. I mean, so it's, we'll just have to kind of wait and see on that one. Oh, wow. I want to get into this because, yeah, I lost my brother this past year. And, you know, and when you see someone that gave their life and did so much, and his body was donated to science, and people in Michigan are actually able to study him and, you know, autopsy him and do stuff and learn to further. It just makes my day. And when a firefighter lost his life, Cody Mooney, to an aggressive brain tumor, they gave him a final escort with all these doctors and nurses and firefighters and policemen saluting him. On his way to donate his organs. You know, one of the greatest people I ever got to meet was Colonel Wade Schaefer, and he always would tell me, Kyle, you know what, you can't take anything that, you go to heaven with what you left with. You know, you go to heaven with what you left with. And I said, what? So you left your mom, you know, the old joke that, you know, you spend 9 years, 9 months of your life trying to get out of the womb, and then the rest of your life trying to get back in, you know? No, yeah, you leave your mom's womb with nothing, and you leave this world with nothing. You know, take a look at Donald Trump. His grave will be the same size as mine. And I'll never forget that lesson, you know, because I'm like, I love motorsports. And I was a huge NASCAR fan. I'm like, I always wanted these diecast. Like, now what would I do with them? I see people with like glass cases full of NASCAR diecast cars trying to sell them. I'm like, what would I have done with them? That'd be collecting dust, you know. So, you know, so it's one of those things that, you know, it's just brings you to tears when you see this firefighter and all the salutes and everything. You know, people, you know, when you look at, you know, superheroes, or you look at, you know, like the men of the year, you know, I think of soldiers and firefighters and cops. You know, they put their life on the line every day for us. You know, look at those people that went to Vietnam and fought for our freedoms. And what did they do? They weren't welcomed back. They were crapped on. If you ever see a person with a Vietnam hat on, Vietnam veteran, that guy is one badass. It's, you know, we put our priorities in so many, you know, oh, well, no, sorry. A sports person, well, now Tim Tebow is different. Tim Tebow is an amazing guy. And it's amazing because he's amazing outside of football and outside of what he's done in sports. And that's the thing, you know, my heroes are policemen. My heroes are the military. That's why I have a Salute Your Troops shirt. The guy's like, oh, yeah, you were here yesterday. Yep, I just try to get autographs from all the people and different things. And, you know, because they mean the world to me. You know, my dad was in the Presidential Honor Guard. You know, he sacrificed so I could be free. He sacrificed so I wouldn't have to live in a socialist nation. You know, my forefathers died so that we could actually be free. They wrote a constitution so that we could keep our government in check. I mean, we have a lady in Congress who they're questioning why she's there, because she's making anti-Semitic remarks. Because she is Muslim, and Muslims hate Jews. It's common sense. And they're like, you know, like, how can she be on this committee and do all this stuff if she's a Muslim? Muslims do not like Jews. They are her beliefs, Scalise says. Omar must be removed from the committee over anti-Semitic comments. If that was a Republican or a Trump supporter, that would be, if they have, minus the commercials, if there's 47 minutes of a show on MSNBC, that would be 99% of it. How dare they, how dare this Republican make anti-Semitic remarks? But she does it, and oh, you know, we went from a day and age where Muslims took down our Twin Towers. We will not forget to having people that want our homeland security gone. They hate Jewish people. I don't know. I don't know what's happened to this country. I wanted to get into this, and then I'll get into some other stuff. But I tore something in here, and it's killing me. The death, it's hard to sleep and all this stuff. So I didn't make it to church on Sunday, and I was just lying in the recliner trying to get rested up as best I could. And I was watching EWTN to see if they had like the mass so I could watch it. And they had a thing at like 1:30 called Unmasking Zelensky. And if you don't know, EWTN is like the Catholic channel, and it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It is something everyone, these kids need to see that movie, that documentary, because There's a lot that's going on in this world today that has a lot of, because he was a community organizer. He was someone that was born January 30th, 1909, and died June 12th, 1972. And one of his most famous books is called The Rules for Radicals, where the ends justify the means. And he was, before people really knew what he was doing, he was getting some hierarchy in the Catholic Church to buy into what he was doing so that, hey, one of the biggest denominations in this country is the Catholic Church, and if you get them on his side, guess what's going to happen? They're going to buy into this. And he was the one that was pushing the divides and, you know, we need to have rights for women and we need to have this. And it's not about, you know, one race, the human race. It's about, well, blacks need to have equality. You need to get out in the streets. You need to march. And you need to do this and community organize. And almost all these places where they did all these marches and all these organizations, it made it worse. It made it worse. And this is what's going on in today's world. And this is a quote by Norman Thomas. This is from the 1940s. The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name, and you've heard this recently, liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day the America we know as will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate under the Socialist Party. The Democratic Party has already adapted our platform. And that was in 1940 when he said that. Norman Thomas. And what did I tell you if you're a longtime listener of the program? Obamacare is not designed to work. It's designed to fail because no one in their right mind in this country is going to adopt a single-payer healthcare socialist medicine system. People don't want a socialized medicine system in the U.S. Well, how are they going to get it passed? Well, let's do Obamacare. It's going to fail. And when it does, we'll make it so bad that when it fails and it fails miserably, we'll push this single-payer healthcare system and it will look like $1 million and we'll shove it down their throats. Because they'll want it then because, hey, compared to what we have, it's $1 million. Just like the U.S., people are never going to adopt. The people in the U.S. are never in a million years going to support a national bank. We're not going to have a Bank of England or a Bank of the National Bank of Spain or Italy or Germany. They're never going to support that in America. Well, how do we get that passed? Well, we can't call it the National Bank of the United States. We have to call it the Federal Reserve. It's like net neutrality. They've been trying to get net neutrality passed way back since the 60s. Well, how do we get it? How do we write it in a way that makes it safe? To make it look safe. Remember, in the 70s, don't talk to strangers or don't get in a stranger's car. 70s and 80s. Don't talk to strangers or get in strangers' cars. In the 90s, don't get on and talk to strangers you don't know on the internet. Don't meet someone off the internet you don't know, a stranger. Especially, don't even get in their car. What do we do today? We get on the internet to order a stranger to pick us up in a car. But it's Uber. It's safe. It's safe, folks. It's Uber. And then you're still having some strangers. Now they have an app on your phone that you press this button. When you press this button, it automatically contacts the police, says you're in trouble, and it starts tracking you until they get there. This is a 1940 quote from Norman Thomas. They'll never knowingly adopt socialism, but we'll call it liberalism. America's not going to support a national bank, so we'll call it the Federal Reserve. we're not going to, America's not going to support a single payer healthcare system. So let's, how do we get it passed? How do we get socialism in this country where the majority of Americans will never support it? How do we take guns away from the majority of Americans who will never give up their guns? How do we, well, let's try to get small legislation passed. Yeah, just some background checks, just some basic stuff. We're not taking your guns. We're just going to do basic, you know, we're just going to do some basic laws. You know, we're going to take these, you know, any clip with 10 or more ammunition. No. And well, that didn't stop the violence and the crime. So we need to make the law stronger, and then they'll make the law a little stronger. Well, then when it gets worse and keeps getting worse because you're not stopping criminals from getting guns and using them, you're only stopping law-abiding citizens, they're just going to keep adding until they have total control. And that's what's going on in this country. You have people like Ocelia Cortez that, screw Russia, we need to go after Trump's finances. He's done something wrong. I know what Harris. She's not trying to make America great. She's like, guess what? Celebrate good times. Come on. Amazon's not opening up another business. We shut them down. Thank God Amazon's not opening up. Thank God all those jobs, all that tax revenue. Amazon, you're going down. Thank God. All you New Yorkers expecting work, you ain't getting it. Thank God. We're going after Trump. He's not even president yet, but we're going to go after him. I tell you what, we're working on impeachment proceedings. We want it so that when we find something, see, this government is sort of like the Scientologist trying to find anything, and Trump is a suppressive person, and they're trying to find anything. I don't care if he forgot to take and return a book in kindergarten. If that's enough to get him impeached and thrown out of office, by God, we're going to do it. I hope America falls apart. I hope it goes into civil war so that who cares? I hope Americans are homeless. I hope what can we do to ensure that Americans lose their jobs and everything? We can blame Trump. How can we make this country fall apart so we can blame Trump? Because, God forbid, we want Trump to succeed. We want people to succeed in this country. They don't. He wasn't even elected president yet, and they were already trying to figure out how they're going to impeach the SOB. That's how bad they are. They don't care about you. But then you're talking like a Nancy Pelosi that has a $100 million home, and, you know, but who cares? You know, let me see here. Oh, we're not talking about my billions. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. What about your wall around your house? Oh, no, we're not talking about my wall. We can't have one at the border, but I can have one around my house. It's BS. It's double standards. How can we shove socialism down your throats and the people and the American people that don't want it? Because when you talk to a lot of these kids, well, don't you want to make sure that the people coming into your house are safe? Yeah, I'm not just going to let anyone into my house if I'm having a party. No, I want to make sure they're vetted. I don't want to have people trash my place. Well, don't you think we need to do that in this country? Sure. Yeah, people coming into this country should be. We should know who's coming into this country. Well, you're out here marching against the very thing you're saying we should be doing. You're saying that it's unconstitutional to have a travel ban to allow that says that there are people from certain states and certain countries shouldn't be allowed in here. If there's an outbreak of a deadly disease in Indiana, we should be contained in our own state until we figure out what we have and how do you cure it before we spread it elsewhere. It would be a travel ban. If you've been in Indiana, you need to stay here until we figure out, you know, whatever the case. You know, it's called a travel ban. If there's bad people in a certain area and you want to have a travel ban, that's unconstitutional. How dare they? Oh, but then when you talk to these kids and you date, because they don't know any different. They're indoctrinated in these universities and in these high schools. I've never, ever in a million years, see, when I went to school, kids never wore like Bill Clinton shirts or Ross Perot shirts. You didn't. Politics wasn't discussed. I don't know. Now I know what some of my teachers I had, what they politically believed. But in high school, we never knew. We never talked about it. But now you have kids that wear like build the wall construction company shirts and turn that inside out and didn't. No way. It's just one of those things. It's sad. I mean, they should have the freedom to wear without repercussion whoever they support. You know, if it was Hillary Clinton, they'd be praised. Trump, oh no, how dare he? How dare he? It's sad, but it's nice to see these people standing up. And I think there's an Arizona attorney general that's wanting to look in these kids that are being, like, abused, basically, because, you know, and having major issues because they stand with Trump. I mean, when you have someone in the government that's basically making anti-Jewish remarks, are you kidding me? But they don't care because it's a liberal. She's a liberal. But if it was a conservative, let me tell you, if that was the shoe was on the other foot, they would not let it down. It's like I said before, there was one time when Mitt Romney was running for president against Barack Obama, and he made some comment about like the other half, like the average American or something. And they said, and it was Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC at the time. And he goes, all we have to do is play that clip over and over and over and over and over again. Obama's in for sure. And I'm like, and how does that fix America's problems? Not that Mitt Romney was going to be great. You were picking the lesser of the two evils. It's kind of like, well, do you get shot with 10 bullets or 9? Well, I don't want to get shot at all, but I guess getting shot by 9 bullets is better than 10. But you know, that's what's going on in this world. You know, we're fed up. You know, you may not like Trump, but he's doing what I paid him to do. He's not getting paid. Gotcha. But he's doing exactly what we set him in there to do. There's a lot, like, I guess Hillary Clinton's not going to run for 2020 president. Michael Bloomberg's not going to run. Fast and Furious, he's not going to run. Eric Holter, Fast and Furious. That's like a TV show, you know. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy, you know, but all these people that are not going to run. Like, I want Hillary Clinton to run, man. She's a joke. She screwed up herself. And then, I mean, there's something that Ocasio Cortez now denies dark money allegations in FEC complaint. She's done all kinds of stuff with campaigns. There was one lady that took $17,000 of her campaign funds and gave it to herself as a bonus. It's sad. There's a university dean that resigns after school bans Chick-fil-A. I'm a very committed Christian. Well, what people don't realize is when they had that vote, like if a baby survives a botched abortion, the vote to help give those babies medical care or have mandatory medical care, guess what? There were so many Catholics who were Democrats that voted no. Nope, we're not going to give mandatory. And guess what? Christian, I mean, how as a Christian can you be for abortion? And one of the bishops said, well, you know, and he had words with the one committee member, and they go, well, we don't think you should be taking communion anymore because you're not really standing. Basically, like, you really shouldn't be calling yourself a Christian, let alone a Catholic, if you against helping a newborn baby. But it's nice to see a university dean step down and say, no, sorry. It's a New Jersey campus. It's a private university. And when they basically said, no, we're not going to, you know, when they, he's like, no, I'm a Christian. I support this. If you're going to nix them, I'm done and left. I think it's great that people are standing up for what they believe in. It's great that you have a group of people like students and deans that are finally, hey, I'm a Trump supporter. You want me to take your shirt and turn it inside out? Kiss my grits. Bring it. Go ahead. I'll turn this shirt inside out. And while I'm doing that, who does my attorney contact? Because there's going to be a lawsuit. I'll own this school. We'll be changing the name and everything. It'll be Donald Trump Elementary School, High School, whatever it is. We'll have the whole district changed. It'll be the Donald Trump School District. But just watching that movie, that documentary, Unmasking Solinsky, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, it'll wake your eyes up to things that are actually happening now that they've been doing back in the day. There were some socialist-type people back when our founders got, because there were people that came here with the intent of keeping an England-style country in America. But couldn't make it stick. But that's how the cookie crumbles, folks. You know, we're not a socialist nation and never will be. I kind of want to see them try to come after our Second Amendment rights because, you know, those trillions of rounds of ammunition we have, you know, go ahead and bring it. So, yeah. I know so many millions of Americans that will never give up their Second Amendment. So, you know, it would probably end this, if they went after our Second Amendment rights, it would end this people trying to make America a socialist nation. It would end that really fast.
Well, the king sent people over here, too.
Yeah. Oh, some of our forefathers were sent by the king to try to keep the king, try to keep a, they, see, sorry,
they
folks.
Colonized.
Yeah.
Because they, remember the motto, the sun never set on Britain or England?
Yeah.
Because he had, wherever the sun was, he had colonies.
Yeah.
That's why we had the 13 colonies, the flag behind you. That's why they were called colonies to begin with.
Yep, this is one of the very first Don't Tread on Me flags. With the 13th. And what people don't realize is, I hate to burst your bubble or whatever, but there is, democratic socialism is just a phony term to try to get you to believe that you're somehow half socialist, half government trying to, well, you have control of the government. You know, this notion, there is no difference. France is finally, I love them, that they're finally starting to say, hey, you're taxing us too much. We're going out in the streets and we're going to riot. We're going to protest because this is bullcrap. And they're actually trying to do something. But they don't have guns, so if the military comes after them, and what can they do?
Hey, what? Russia gets any more like us, I'm going to move there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But it's one of those things moving forward. You know, they've from day one tried to get us to be like England. They've planted people in this country. Where are we at here, folks? We got about 24 minutes or so left in the program. And as many of you know, over today, you know, they announced that WWE legend King Kong Bundy had passed away at 61. And it just makes me feel so old, because I remember back in the day when him and Hogan would fight, and, you know, and hard to think that Roddy Piper's gone, and all these, you know, Flying Brian Pillman, all these wrestlers, because there have been, every once in a while I watch a video and have like the like all these WWE, all these wrestling superstars that we've lost over the years, and it's just sad. And over the weekend we lost Luke Perry, the, you know, Dylan McKay's Beverly Hills 90210 star and Riverdale star, and a lot of my friends are like, oh, like my, like, you know, we didn't have Netflix, we didn't have this, you know, this is what we watched. It was like, because I can't, me and my wife can't have kids, but, you know, a lot of my friends, mom, like, how did you get away with using your cell phone in school? We didn't have cell phones. It's fun to get those kids, like, they say the darndest things, you know, and the, like, they had those shows, and they have ones now where they take, like, a, like an old, like, 1980s computer. Well, where's the internet? There is no internet. This is pre-internet. Like, in the 90s, there's an internet. I mean, internet was available in the 60s, but it was mainly, like, in huge, giant computers, and it was only, like very, very, very few people had access. And it wasn't like it was global. You know, like, everyone, you know. And, like, in the 90s is when it was through the telephone, and if you were using the phone, then you had no way for anyone to call. I've been waiting for a phone call all day. What the hell? Whoops. Because you were doing stuff on the internet. And so, oh, you would sit there, like, as soon as someone hung up the phone, you try to get on the internet. Like, what's wrong with the, I can't get no dial tone on this phone. You better not be on that dang internet. But now, you know, but it's amazing because, like, 90210 is like a show you watch. Because, like, everyone thought that, oh, out in California, they had it better. Not really, because out anywhere, you could be in Dubuque, Iowa. If you got millions, you can go and do whatever you want. You could have a $1 million car. You could do, you know, you don't have to live in Beverly Hills or in San Francisco to be better. You could be in Dubuque, Iowa, and, you know, but, and I think a lot of people, because when we grew up, that was when we were in high school, and if you, one of the tidbits, I forget exactly, but I think Gabrielle Carteris, when they started the show, was 29. And she was basically taken off the show when it got harder and harder for her to look like she was, like, only, like, in her 20s. And one thing, I guess it went on for a while, because when they started to get into the college years, and they had, who is that? They had, like, Kelly Kapowski on the show, you know, from Saved by the Bell, that chick. I kind of was like, I just lost interest. You know, when they were in high school and stuff, when they had the original cast, I watched it until about then, and then it kind of went, I stopped watching it, but I guess it went on for like 10 seasons. But, you know, it was one of those things that it was our, it was like our generation's show, and I think a lot of people have a hard time with this passing because they were in high school when this was on, and they just see their death in Luke's, because, like, well, you know, like, he's gone, I could die at any moment, you know. I wouldn't, I mean, when I have, when me and my wife had our wedding, who knew my brother was sick? Who knew that he had that tumor? We didn't know. We were, I was good friends with a buddy of mine that, who knew that at 9 years old, he was halfway through his life. We didn't know that, you know, that I remember they used to have this cigarette smoking commercial, like, who, like when she was like, well, when she turns 50, she's going to get in shape and quit, and, you know, and she never, you know, like, who knew, like, I forget what the heck, I never, like 20 was middle age or something, I forget what the age was, and I'm like, well, my buddy was 9 years old, who knew when I was playing with him at 9 that he was middle aged, you know, but it's one of those things, moving forward, you know, that you just live your life because you never know when it's going to be. And I think a lot of people are just having a hard time, not because of they knew him, but just because, hey, this was when I was in high school, this was on TV. I see myself dying. I mean, I had a hard time when I heard Dan Weldon died. I'm like, when I found out through the phone that he didn't make the crash, and I'm like, I had a hard time with it, but and I realized when I talked, because I was older than he was, and if he had already died, then I saw my death in him. And I remember when they, it was just crazy. And I think a lot of people are seeing that, And it's one of those things, like, I have so many people like, oh, I guess it's going to time to start binge watching 90210. I don't know what channel it's on, if it's on even on TV anymore, but, But it was kind of interesting. It's just sad to see. Died of a massive stroke, so you never know. Just live your life and stand up for what you believe in. And there's a lot of talk that, look at Colorado. They're not having the issues with cannabis that everyone said. Look at all these places where it's legalized. They're not seeing all this negatives. Oh, yeah, as soon as you legalize it, you're going to have violence everywhere. It's going to be epic. Well, that's not happening. And people are starting, I think, to find that out. What do we do now? Because we told everyone that there's going to be all this massive violence, and now there's not. And that's why I think more and more municipalities are doing stuff and trying to legalize it and trying to do this. And, one thing I want to possibly look into is having my own compassionate care dispensary, and do, because a lot of people don't realize, like CBD is a huge pain relieving portion, and that's the thing. For years it's like, oh yeah, you just want to get high. Well, no, I want pain relief. I want this relief. And all these things that we were taught about cannabis and all this stuff, I think they're slowly trying to integrate legalization, because if all of a sudden they legalize it, then people are like, not many people are like me. Hey, you realize that we're one step away from federal prohibition of marijuana being gone, X'd, and not many people are saying, well, wait a minute, why isn't all of a sudden X'ing, look at what's going on in Colorado and the great things that are happening, and everything they lied to you about hasn't happened. No one's sitting there going, well, wait a minute here. They lied to us about how dangerous it was, and if you smoke one cigarette, one joint is the equivalent of like a 10,000 cigarettes or whatever the crap they lied to us. No one's sitting there saying, hey, wait a minute, they lied to us about all this stuff. No one's saying that. But I think it's interesting, because I honestly, there's tons of legislators. And, I just laugh at Eric Holder, because he said, I'm in Colorado, I smoked all this, I'd never legalize it. Yeah. I'm Eric Holcomb, I'm the Indiana governor. We're having a 4-month-long summit in Colorado. Yep, we're going to discuss, I don't know what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss some green energy. And then you find out he's just there for 4 months smoking weed all the whole 4 months. But hey, shouldn't legalize it in Indiana, but I'm going to Colorado to smoke, and I've smoked it. And that is not the most hypocritical load of bull crap. Would you legalize it? No. I don't believe in legalizing it, but I've smoked it in Colorado, sitting there with like a huge, like 70-foot bong. Man, we shouldn't legalize pot, but But I'm in Colorado smoking it up. He's probably bringing home crap. Well, it's like they said right before the the embargo on Cuba, Kennedy asked to get like crap tons of Cubans, like 10 boxes, so he would have them before the embargo. That's all I'm saying, you know. It's a double standard, you know. We can't legalize cannabis, but I'm going to go to Colorado and light that stuff up. Now, my brother would always tell you, and I have to somewhat agree, you know, look at all this money it's going to, revenue it's going to generate. Well, you got to make sure that when it generates that revenue, that it's used for something. Because they're looking at a 45-cent tax on gas, I think, per gallon or something. And I'm just waiting to see where that money doesn't get used for. Because everyone, well, we're not going to build a wall until we shouldn't spend a penny on the wall until Flint has clean water. Well, what is Michigan doing to try to get Flint clean water? What is Michigan trying to do to get clean water for Flint? There's one where this politician was taking money and throwing in their campaign and doing all kinds of illegal stuff. I mean, there are places that are way worse off than Flint, Michigan for water. I'll tell you that much. Just so you know. And I have people that live in Michigan, so trust me. What is Michigan doing? I mean, I look at it like this, though. If California is in massive debt, why should we bail them out, you know? Why should my tax dollars bail out a state that is basically run like a communist nation? See, at some point you have to have grandfathering, okay? Well, if you're gonna guarantee all this crap to people, at some point you're gonna say, hey, we can't continue to do that. So, if you were at 65 years of age or older, you're gonna get benefits from 65 and older. But we're gonna move the benefits to 70 for people, and we're gonna change stuff. But it's one of those, it's a big thing. You have people that don't get that. Like, well, eventually, you know, if it cost you $1 to plant an acre of corn, but you're getting 50 cents for that acre, you're losing 50 cents for every acre you plant. You're making, it costs you more to plant it than you get for it. Yeah, how do you make money off of that? If I'm buying this bottle of water for $1, how can I make money off it if I'm only selling it for 50 cents? It's one of those things. But that's this world. These kids think that everything should be given to them free. Well, yeah, free everything. We shouldn't. I might have to do this. I might have to get a video and go to a college campus, my local, and see if I can get people to see what they would think of not having a currency. To where there's no currency, none. To where, you know, since everything's going to be free, you don't need currency. I mean, healthcare is going to be free. College is going to be free. An abortion is going to be free. I mean, if you want to adopt a kid, no, it's going to cost you to adopt a kid. But, you know, to chop the kid's head off and cut his guts up inside you, that's free. Don't worry. And if you forget that you were going to have an abortion, don't worry. Once it's out, we'll suffocate it to death with a plastic bag. We'll kill it. Don't worry. I don't get it. You have Christians that say that, oh, well, if a baby survives a botched abortion, it shouldn't get medical care. How about some of these babies that people want aborted? How about they get given to a family who would love to have a kid, who can't have a kid, free of charge? Here you go. How about them apples? How about them apples? What a world we're living in, folks. It's called common sense. Yeah, I'm going to move on now, folks, because we've got about 9 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to get into some Champions League and Premier League notes. As many of you know, tomorrow, Manchester United in the Champions League takes on PSG, and there's tons. I mean, they're talking as the Mission Impossible, because can Manchester United overcome a 2-goal deficit and come back to beat PSG? And we stink at home. I will say that. At Old Trafford end, we are horrible. But on the road, we have been dominant. And if we can get the first goal and be only down 2-1 on aggregates, I think we have a good chance of winning. I've heard that because we're possibly looking at a third place finish in the Premier League, I've heard Anthony Martial is not going to be with the team because he wants to actually keep him and get him healthy for Arsenal. So I respect that. I mean, whether we win or lose against PSG, Premier League is where we need to focus on a fourth place or better finish so we can stay in the Champions League. I think it's only a matter of time before I think they're going to wait till the end to announce that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to get the job. So, you know, I think we've got a good chance of turning this game around, and we can possibly win it. But when you look at the press conference, it's just he's like, hey, this is who I got. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, okay, we lost, but we're going to come, you know, we can do this. Keep your heads up. You know, millions of people watch us. We got to be inspirations. We got to be professional. You know, if you want to goof off, there's the door. Bye-bye. You are role models. People look up to you. You have an obligation to be upstanding and be a model for kids to, you know. You need to be a leader. Someone that, hey, I mean, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had football players that he looked up to. And, you know, I just think when you look at this, he knows what Manchester United is about. I just hope that he can demand, okay, yeah, if I'm going to get this job, we got some deadwood at United that you need to be ruthless if you want to be a top contender in the Champions League. He won the Champions League game for them against Bayern Munich. He knows what it takes to be at the top. And we have deadwood at United that need to go, and we need to bring in some new people. We need to get a Verratti or an Mbappe. We need to get some of these top players. And I think now that United is competing and they're starting to be dominant, there are some players that are taking notice that, that's why I think we weren't doing much business with Jose Mourinho. He was parking the bus too much, and people were like, no, I want to be on the pitch. I want to be running and doing. And now that they're seeing a turnaround 180 degrees of United, I honestly see people wanting to, yeah, I'm interested, and I'm excited. Hopefully the Glazers, they'll spend some money. And I hope Ole Gunnar Solskjaer demands that and says, hey, yes, I've turned the team around with what we have. Imagine if you get me great players. I have really, really, really good players, but what if you give me great players? And I can get some 24 and 25-year-olds and develop them. And I think it's just amazing. I'm just excited because no matter what happens tomorrow, I think because win, lose, or draw, our main focus is the Premier League. Because if we don't win tomorrow, we can still stay in the Champions League by getting a fourth place finish for next year. And that's very realistic. And I think that's what his main focus is. You know, it's going to be icing on the cake. If we can get fourth place, then we'll get, you know, so be it. We'll get fourth place. You know, I think, you know, if we beat PSG, yeah, you know, but our guarantee for Champions League, like, if we beat PSG, cha-ching, but, you know, the odds of us going and winning the Champions League are slim and none. We're not nowhere near good enough to be competing for a Champions League title. Our main focus is getting to fourth place or better so we can get into the Champions League next year. So I think it's going to be an amazing game, you know. So I'm interested to see going forward. He just exudes confidence. He's just like, you know, I played here. This is the style of football our fans expect. I know what this team, I know what it's like. I've been there. I know. Come here. Okay, you want to know? I used to down a bottle of Mylanta before the games. My stomach, I know what it's like, buddy. I used to go to Tesco's and get Tums and down them. I know what it's like. The nerves. I understand. I've been there. And it's just nice to be excited again about United and excited about the team and excited about this match tomorrow. I'll be working, so I'll be tuning in. Click. Nope. I'll be looking at, like, okay, well, how many minutes are left in the match? What's the score? I don't know. To me, I think the bigger picture is just trying to get fourth place or better in the Premier League, and I think that's what the main goal is. I don't honestly see us winning tomorrow. If we were to beat PSG, I'd probably collapse. But I think if we can beat PSG tomorrow, if we could get three goals and have a 3-2 aggregate win, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the way he's turned this team around, he's getting people to where I wasn't excited about Manchester United when Jose Mourinho's there. Now what he's doing, I feel like I can be on a team that's going to be competitive and we can possibly win Premier League titles and contend for Champions Leagues. So it's one of those things. I got a minute, about 90 seconds left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, wherever you are around the world, from LA to New York to Russia to Pennsylvania to Indiana, wherever you are. You know, we just had active shooter training about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at my work, and then we had a gas station robbed right down the road. So God always prepares you. So you never know. You know, you know, 1,000 sleepless nights may be what it takes for you to realize all the bitching and complaining might be what it takes for you to realize that you find the love of your life eventually. You don't give up, and God gets you there. You know.
You know how we love Valentine's Day.
Oh, we love Valentine's Day, Dad. We love you, buddy. I miss you so much, man. He always had a biblical way about thinking about everything, you know. And just remember this, folks. If astronomers can't find Orion's belt, it's because your mom's wearing it and she needs to give it back. That's my joke of the day, folks. And remember this. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless.